Good morning. Actually, this is good afternoon. The numbers to call are 434-1790 or WhatsApp 266-4862. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Lisa Gale, and we are going until 1 p.m. this afternoon. You are on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. We're not hearing you. Yes, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yes, I will say this first before I get to my two main points. One is the hospital, and the second is the equipment in the harbor for the defense force.
So you have 3 points then?
Two. But okay. I just want to say this one.
Okay.
I used to be annoyed before you start calling brass tacks. I only calling brass tacks for 18 months. With people calling every day. I used to be real annoyed about it. Because some of them calling every day and saying the same thing. But I will let you to know that I call on Friday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm here again today. So what I used to complain or call about, I find myself doing now.
That's very interesting.
Yes, so I'll move on to my point now. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this gentleman is known on Twitter by Patrick. I don't know if this is the gentleman that I know. But I heard him in a conversation with another caller, a giant, you know, when you introduce him, and then another fellow was on before. And he made a statement. He said that the hospital is worse off today than in 2008. And I was sitting down using my breakfast. No plans of calling. I called yesterday. I had a nice engagement with Peter Wickham. And I said, I got to call in. Because I like to call in on things that I know about, not things I hear. I'm a outpatient hospital. Mm-hmm. I also got into two little accidents. I fractured my hand, and also because of my vision, hurt my foot, and my feet was in cast, and my hand was in cast. That is one side. I was there because of my medical conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Also, I work at the hospital between 2008 and 2010, doing construction work.
Yes, you mentioned you work on construction.
Yeah, I work for a company there between that time. Being a member of the Democratic Labour Party, I'm also a foot soldier, whereby I work in the interest of the DLP, and I go from house to house, hoping to get the people's vote. So whenever you go to the hospital sick, I usually find myself there to visit you. Also, if you die, I just turn out that the family members will see me. So when they come and knock, I won't be a stranger. But why I was so annoyed with him is this. In 2008, they had no cafeteria at the hospital. They had no award at the hospital. This is the Lions Award. You ever been there yet?
Yes.
They had no Lions Award. Downstairs, where I work, which is at the emergency section, where we did some repairs and remodels, when you get there, you can plug in no extension cord at the hospital. All the fittings to plug in an extension cord was outdated. You had to go to TRM or one of those places and get a makeup so that you could plug into their system, then to use your extension. If you travel from Jamus Lane, go in the direction of St. Michael's Girls School, and you look up, you will see a lot of equipment on top the lines I section. That wasn't there in 2007. And I could go on and go on. One elevator was working when I was working there. One elevator.
So now, you've seen some improvements over the years in the QEH.
I know. And I'm saying it is unfair to Dr. James and his staff at the hospital that a person who I know different that could come on this air and give the impression that the Harwicky Pay Hospital have the hospital worse off now than in 2008. And I say that to say this. If that is the gentleman who I think I know, when I was campaigning in Christchurch in 2008, I am sure that he was campaigning for a gentleman called Dr. Law. And he was lambasting a gentleman called Dr. Walker, who at the time was Minister of Health. So he had to be lying then or lying now. And I would like him to stop coming on my station and speaking the honest truth. Okay, I'll go to the Chinese and the harbor. Now, another gentleman called again, and he said that the government should have sit down with the government and negotiate and try to get something. In other words, the impression he's giving that we need other things besides the military equipment that is at the port, as he was saying. I would like to ask him to just check again. When Hillwoods was for sale, the government stepped in and borrowed money from the Chinese. Are you right or wrong?
I'm not sure about Hillwoods.
Okay, they borrowed money from the Chinese. And then, as far as I understand, Sanders Fall in Love is down there. And they took that money and they carried it to St. Lawrence. So the hotel at St. Lawrence is being built, I think about 80% of the money is Chinese money, and the government, I think, put in the other 20%. But St. Lawrence is built with Chinese money. The gymnasium was just remodeled with $18 million of Chinese money, and not a loan, a grant. It was given, the money was given to us. To give the impression that the government wanted to sit down to get army, military equipment, I don't think that was fair. Because the Chinese in this country, even if you study, I think the Chinese also link up with the University of the West Indies, going into some agriculture business with the community college and etc. The Chinese ain't only supplying us with military equipment as he tried to. I would like them when to come on here. That is why when I go around these days, you know, with my vision, I can't do as much as before. People get so frustrated with politics and politicians. Because every time you hear, people just cannot speak the truth. They want to score political points in areas that don't make no sense at all, and sometimes lies.
So I'm going to ask you here, being the mouthpiece of this WhatsApper. It says, Lisa, please let this caller know that not everyone who goes to the hospital are DLP members, and most persons who go to the hospital for treatment see the same issues without political blinders. At this time, only one elevator is in operation. Medical supplies are in short supply. Certain medications are unavailable. Elective surgeries are being postponed, and they can go on.
Okay, I can disagree with that person because that's what that person witnessed. But I will say this to you. I wonder, after a couple of years ago, my wife and I was discussing it, where the government is getting the amount. When you go into the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and you see the hundreds of people in there waiting to get medication. I just use medication by Queen Elizabeth, and I get my medication all the time. So there's a shortage. I remember a day I went and they didn't have it, and I asked the lady, well, you don't have it in stock. Where can I go and get it? And she told me I could go to any pharmacy, mm-hmm. and she didn't give me the prescription. She wrote it down mm-hmm. on a piece of paper. And I went to the drugstore here in Black Rock, and I paid $18 for it. Only $18. So if you live in a country that the hospital gives everybody free, you go in there, see Indians, everybody going to get free things. You don't expect that it will run out sometime. So if you go and you get in four prescriptions, and then they tell you the short of one or two, tell some of your patients like what it is due and pay for it. Because you're getting the doctor, you get the nurse free. The nurse take your pressure, she tests your urine, she put you on the scale, and then you go and see a doctor. Doctor tends to you free. Now, when you leave the doctor and you go to get the prescription and they're one or two short, you can't buy them. But you could go and line up at the lotto shop, and the people behind calling, because you got so much tickets that you buy that you're taking up all the time and got the tickets joking in to save the thing.
So but that's a matter of priorities then. Some people choose not to spend money on their health, but they will spend money on...
You're getting the nurse free, the doctor free, and because they're short of one or two medicines, you're still complaining. And the final one, before I go, I believe you need a medal. I really enjoy you. You up to yesterday among the callers.
Well, I didn't get a chance. I was heavy. My head was heavy down until 7:30 yesterday. I didn't have any time
at all. I mean, on the way there, this is between us. And let me tell you something. You is the only moderator that I ever listened to. The anti-America was silent for a minute and a half without saying a word.
he normally talks when other people are speaking?
When you told him that you don't stay in a box, you're a consultant and you believe people and think, that man who don't allow Dennis Johnson to speak, that man was quiet.
He probably intimidated by me, man. So you're telling me I need to get metal.
Do it. Listen over it if you got tape or tonight.
Somebody will probably have to send it to me.
Have you ever heard Mr. Auntie America so quiet on this program? You have a very good day.
I like that one. I tried my best not to give people names because some people prefer not to have a name but I guess his voice can't, he can't hide. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Angel. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I want to talk my skills, but first of all, you said you used to Mr. Hatch when you were younger?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Kevin Hatch you're speaking to? About?
If this is, I didn't know his first name. They used to call him Father Hatch.
Right. He's Kevin now, Kevin Andrew Hatch.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing because I remember you were telling, the last time, not this time, but the time before when you spoke to me about the Nicene Council and your holidays and stuff like that. Because Kevin Hatch and myself had a conversation about the Nicene Council also.
Okay.
And I guess if you should sit down and talk to him, because he would tell you about Eusebius, the man called the father of church history. He was at the Nicene Council of Constantine.
Whoa.
And he's the one, the reason he's called the father of church history, because the traditions that he compiled is now the oldest existing history of the church. And it's found at Carson College. It's through his collection of the traditions that I know the Romans of the 4th century knew to put the names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the 4 Gospels that we have. But you got to go beyond the Nicene Council to Palmyra and Zenobia.
Palmyra,
in Syria. Uh-huh. Right. And Queen Zenobia, the Queen of Palmyra.
Yes.
And the bishop that she was associated with called Paul of Samosata.
Whoa.
There was not much difference between what Paul of Samosata and Zenobia said, because Zenobia was a follower of the prophet Jesus, huh? And there's not much difference between what they said and what Arius said. And incidentally, it was not settled, nothing was settled there, because Arius was actually called back, because the Greeks who formulated the Nicene Creed were actually excommunicated and exiled. Arius was called back, but the day before he was called back, he died suddenly. The Greeks claim it was by God's will. But the historian said, he said it was actually poison.
I was just going to ask you if it wasn't poison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go. You ready for the mosquitoes now?
Yeah, sure. Talking vectors and all those other things.
Yeah. a lady was complaining that a lot of mosquitoes up in Graham Hall tends to have this problem up there, right?
I actually heard on the radio. They said not to be worried about those mosquitoes. They don't have a vector.
Right. They call them the Culex or something like that. There is a food historian in America. He calls himself an African-American, a food historian.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the book called The Cooking Gene. He was on the BBC, a program called Boston Calling.
Mm-hmm.
And he said apparently basil, the herb basil, helps to keep away mosquitoes.
Which format? If you do what with it? If you grow it or if you...
If you grow it. I'll tell you a whole story that he gave on the BBC. He said for years he grew up and he had two grandmas, one from Alabama and one from Virginia.
You know we're going until one, so... I hope the story is not long.
No, I'm sure.
Yes.
But so anyway, he decided to trace his own roots, and he took the DNA test, and he traced it back to Senegal.
Yes.
He said when he went to Senegal, he met up on a fruit cellar.
Okay.
And he noticed that outside the fruit cellar house was the basil that his two grandmas used to grow outside their house in America.
Wow.
So he asked what was the reason for it. They said it came away mosquitoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. That's useful information.
Yes. There's also some experiments going on mosquitoes too at the University of California, Riverside. There's a professor of computer science called Eamon Kill. Perhaps the authorities can get in contact with that. And also a journal called E-Life. This is a strange thing also. Interesting to me because I was trained as a technician, electronic technician. There is in journal E-Life, there's experiments going on. They said that when you find maximum mobile telephone use, you also find a maximum amount of mosquitoes. You know there's some... Yeah. Apparently, there's something between mobile phone use and mosquitoes as well. But
okay.
You know what the food historian said is really true, because if you go into all libraries in encyclopedia religion, and you look under Islam in the Americas, it says that a lot of the people in America, in Southern America, actually still carry on their Islamic traditions. But a lot of them don't really know what it was for, because his grandma said it was for good luck and to keep real evil. But in Senegal, they grow the same basil outside the house, the same way as grandma did. It's to keep away mosquitoes.
Okay.
That's something that the people in the president of Trinidad should remember, because under Islam in America, it also lists Trinidad and Guyana. And it says that the reason that the colonists must have to bring down indentured servants from Indians, but mostly Hindus,
mm-hmm.
It's because the descendants of the African Muslim slaves refused to work for the plantation owners after emancipation. That's something that the president of Trinidad should remember very well. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks for your contribution. So we should use a little bit more basil around our houses if we want to keep away the mosquitoes. I think we should share that information with the Ministry of Health to encourage a lot more persons around their households. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. We're going until 1 p.m.
Good day, madam.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Listen, I would like to explain something to you that I know you would like to hear.
Okay.
Around 90 years ago, I was in this country. I am 96 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the time when Tom Adams used to run this country. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people who see Barbados today don't know the prosperity and the success that Barbados had. Let me tell you, I born in time when women and men used to walk both bare feet. You got church bare feet, you got school bare feet.
Mm-hmm.
People homes with little shops and things, and living them. And we canvassed women and men when the time come, after they had the riot, and we talked to build houses for people to live in, and so on.
Yes.
But the reason I call it is this. I hear somebody telling you this morning that people should pay for their education. In the time when Tom Adams was having the government in this country,
mm-hmm.
He happened to be that people were poor and things were going down. And Mr. Adams to make it possible that people should not only get a place to live in, but people to have work. A lot of people were out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it possible that people could go to work to maintain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in these days, when I see people are being sent home from work, I want to know what the comedy love that Barbados had many years ago. When I was born and grew up in Barbados, Barbados were the most lovely human beings in the world. You can go sleep a day and not have anything to eat the next one night will help you if you didn't have. And all the people were one. Everybody were a family. And people were loving and kind. And in this day, what disturbed me to see that people could send home people, not only 100, but 4,500 people should go home and tell me that you doing this in the house of keeping the country so that the country would not fall. I don't believe that. I forget the word one should call it. This is something that you should know. People in this country must learn to help others. We should make sure that people, the young people of today, from your young age should be educated. That is what we pass resolution for. that a child as a barbarian from elementary to go to secondary and from secondary to university. It's possible. The taxes that we receive in these days are not the taxes that we have received in the future. We have something named VAT, where people pay. In those days, people used to pay VAT. And it was possible when Mr. Barr saw that we made a resolution and they implemented it. When he came up from the party, he made it possible that every child in Barbados as a barbarian should go to elementary school, secondary school, university. And a lot of these people who have the university education and come out and get good jobs and things are telling other people today that their children should pay for the education.
We are going to go to the latest right now and we'll come back to Down to Brass Tacks. We are back. The call numbers are 434-1790. Our WhatsApp is 266-4862. Yes, 266-4862. We have a caller on the ear. Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon,
Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I would like to discuss homeland security and especially food security in Barbados, since we have to depend on imports to supply us with food. Many months ago, I'd say over 6 months ago, Minister David Eswick promised the nation that he would have an investigation into the undocumented chicken wings that flooded the shelves of supermarkets in Barbados, since they were not documented at our ports. And they were not inspected by our health inspectors. I don't understand why it's taken them so long to disclose the facts to the public.
Did you miss his presentation? Or you? It is possible because 6 months is quite some time.
No, because I've been asking people about it. You know, I'm out there, and I've been asking people if they heard anything because I was out of the country. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if maybe he made and told them, but no one seems to know. Mm-hmm. It's still a question to us, you know. And he's the first person that came forward and said, oh, no. He was very indignant, said there's going to be an investigation. They're going to find out how these chicken wings got into this country. You know, and this is part of homeland security. We need to know where our foods are coming from and that they're inspected before they reach the stores. He needs to get back to the people on this one. I know there's a lot of things they can't deal with, they can't handle, they'll have all kinds of excuses for, but this is detrimental to the life and the health of every person in this country. And we need to know. We need to know how that was possible. Because I'll tell you something. Once he made that statement that he was going to investigate, they disappeared off the shelf.
That was probably a good threat.
Freezer. I had some in my freezer, but I threw them out once I knew that they had never been inspected.
Mm.
By health officials, I threw out the rest. Mm-hmm. I was not putting those in my stomach. Mm-hmm. But now I noticed again.
They're back again?
That they're back in the supermarkets, but they look like they were there in the freezers for a long time,
ooh,
waiting for him to disclose the results of his investigation.
Hmm.
But since they couldn't wait any longer, they backed out there.
Whoa. Okay,
so
that was two things.
I would like him to come because he usually comes when you call out for him. And
I find he's been pretty quiet. He had one press conference recently. He had one official press conference recently. I haven't heard much of the Minister of Agriculture a lot.
Okay,
to be honest.
I think it's about time he answered to the people of Barbados, you know, because a lot of what they say and how they respond to us is going to determine where we put that X.
Hmm.
And I would tell them to keep that in mind.
Okay. You said you had another one. It was only one?
No, I think I'm going to just deal with that today. I wanted to say something else. Well, you know, they're tied into each other. Homeland Security and food security, to me, are the same thing.
You know, we don't use that word here in Barbados, though. I actually visited Homeland Security in the U.S. We went to Louisiana as part of a disaster management internship, and it was pretty interesting. One of the places we went was, in fact, Homeland Security.
Okay.
We don't use that word here.
Oh, you don't use that word? What's the word?
Just it depends on which. You mean the Ministry of Agriculture?
Yeah.
Yeah, the term, the institution is not referred to as Homeland.
Oh, because I felt that anything that comes through customs is for the security of the nation. So food comes through here, clothing, and whatever building materials we use, so it would be under.
If you're talking importation, is customs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just concerned because I would really like to know, and there's many more concerned consumers that are interested in knowing the results of this thorough investigation. One more thing, Gail. Mm-hmm. This pertains to you.
Sure.
I am very pleased that you are a part of the VOB talk shows. I find that the callers are opening up to you. It's not like we do a hit and run statement and get off the air. No, it's very good, you know, because I'd like to see more people with your type of personality and character within our schools to deal with some of these children that I won't call delinquent today. I will say children that are suffering from health issues.
Okay. Psychological and other ways.
But welcome aboard. I took my time saying it, but I am very pleased to have you a part of the moderators.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. In fact, I have a WhatsApp call here, and this person is begging me to kindly share this information. It says that the QEH has had several improvements over the last 10 years, including lab accreditation, HACCP certification, a new cardiac suite, a new MICU, a corporate business unit developed, electrical upgrades. They're now seeking accreditation with the Accreditation Canada. This very week, they're going for Gold Clinic Risk Unit. And there's Hospital Infection Control Unit developed. And then Staff Wellness Center. Those are quite a number of things. And they mentioned that Dr. James and his team, they're working hard. And they now have an interventional cardiologist, an infection control specialist, and a minimal invasive surgeon. All of these have been acquired within the last 10 years. So please get the callers to understand that we're doing the best we can at the QEH. Interesting. I think that was a good contribution. We have another caller. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
How are you keeping today?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well.
I'm talking about that girl, baby. I saw you on the phone.
Oh, you saw it as well. Okay.
Yeah, and I have a gentleman there before sitting down, and he's trying to baby stay up and have her dada. She's just taking her feet and just kicking it off. But I feel like that gentleman like there should stop her with that. He didn't help in any way.
I understand. Huh? From what I've heard, there's someone in the video who was not helping, even although she was administering negative treatment.
But if he see her doing that, he should speak to her or stop her.
Agreed. I agree with you.
Do that. And that girl, though, looks like she's normal. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The girl looks like she's all that up standard.
Oh, so she probably also, I mean, as I was thinking, she probably is suffering from some kind of psychological problem.
Look, she has a problem.
Okay.
You know, it's just how she looked to me.
Okay. Because that could probably explain why she's doing irrational, her behavior so irrational.
But there's no person, as that gentleman there said, though, he should stop her from doing that. He's going to just there and say, da-da, da-da. She took her feet and kicking it off all the time. Mm. She went outside, was outside, and she went outside for it and took it out in one hand and breaking the house. Mm.
Yeah, I heard. Young. I heard about it, and it's pretty sad.
But she do not look normal.
Okay.
But if the gentleman there said like he should stop her, he should allow her to do it over.
Agreed.
But he was there standing alone. And every time she lay alone, she told her that she just kick it off, just kick it off.
So that's a clarion call then for persons who see people doing things that are not good, that they can lend a hand, they can suggest change behavior, or they can advance a new option. Whether you see a mother mistreating a child or a person using abusive language or something that is not good, I'm sure as a society we can look out for our brothers and sisters. Someone says here, Lisa, do not touch the chicken wings. Stop it with a 10-inch pole. I think that should be a 10-foot pole. Oh, thank you. I think that's an interesting one. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. We are going until 1 p.m., so our time is minimal. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Miss Lisa.
Yes, sir.
Time limited. So I'm going to start with three short questions that, based on some previous callers. How do we distinguish one mosquito from the other, the Codex and the Aedes aegyptis and the Anopheles? How do we tell them to have numbers on them or ID cards or something?
That's the first question. What's the second question?
The second question. The school that is closed, the Batmangat School, which has a problem with courage on the other side of the road, does that land belong to government or is it the plantation land? And if it is plantation land, what steps will be taken to ask the plantation to clear the land, knowing full well that it causes problems? This is a thing that should have been triggered by the principal through the Ministry of Education, and they then won't have to send children home. This shutdown school is happening
maybe,
too often.
Maybe you said that it should be triggered by the principal, but what if the principal did invoke that same protocol that you're talking about?
But I didn't
and
see that.
There hasn't been any movement towards moving that, clearing up the property. That's very possible.
I didn't see. I didn't hear any information on that. That's why you asked the question. I didn't hear the principal had taken any action. I just heard they're going to shut the school. And that has to come through the Ministry of Education. So I would assume that the principal, taking it as his responsibility, he's the manager of that plant, that he would have triggered something to deal with the issue so that they wouldn't have to close the school. I don't think it's fair to be closing schools at this all the time. The final question I want to ask, if you're buying a plot of land or a landed property, don't you have to have something called a plot and sale? Meaning that you have to identify the plot, you have to identify the size, all the measurements, and you have to have what you call landmarks, so that you identify clearly where the land is, what is the back, what's the front, and what's the two sides. Because I heard a gentleman questioning people putting down stakes and so on. So I just want to say, and I don't know if you'll be legally trained, but when it comes to selling
in Lansavain, no. But I can tell you, if there are we call subdivisions, there has to be the demarcation made by the either the ministry, not the Ministry of Housing, the National Housing Corporation, depending on who the land is owned by. And in his instance, he means persons from the National Housing Corporation. So it is very true that they could very well have to come and put down markers.
Yes. And the other thing is the question about mortgages. You know, we got...
No, I thought you had three questions, one of which had to do with distinguishing mosquitoes, the second having to do with if the land up by the school belongs to government and then a plot of land. We've gone to question four now.
No, I want to make a short step. Now, this thing about mortgages, now, you know that we used to have a mortgage company that is now in the hands of some other people. And we have a lot of people around Barbados.
Sorry. Let me get you clear. You said we have a mortgage company that is now in the hands of other people?
But the Barbados mortgage company was owned by
the BMFC,
the people of Barbados.
As has been known, is now Republic Bank.
Exactly. It's now owned by non-national interests. And what I'm saying is that since that is the case, they have law houses in the states around Barbados with people's names on the houses. Not literally on the houses, but they made down payments 2-3 years ago. But they cannot get the title deeds to get the keys. So they're not getting the banks nowadays are not so fussy about mortgages because a mortgage is a long-term investment. I mean, a mortgage is a $300 million payout, $300,000 payout over 25
That's
or 30
a very
years.
Large interest. So why would the
That's
bank
right.
not be pleased?
And the banks are not interested in mortgages, Miss Singh.
Hmm.
And they're more interested in short-term vehicles, imported vehicles.
No. Who told you this? Where you came to this conclusion?
Because that's what he saw. That's what he saw written down. Because one bank said that they were not investing too much in certain commodities. I think it's the assistant governor or something like that. I'm not sure of the name. Anyway, I'm just saying that because of that situation, people out there waiting to get those houses who have made a down payment, but they have to wait to get title deed before that. I think this is really unfair because they've made a down payment, they have signed the agreement, and I think they should be allowed to go in the houses, and the bank can then not send it, because the bank keeps the title deed for itself until the house is paid off. So I think really that something should be done to alleviate that situation. I have at least two people who have houses at Corverly and one who has something in the locals hall.
I don't think they gave you the right information. But thanks for your call. We hear the music coming on. The producer, of course, is ready to wrap Lisa Gale up. I just want to say here, I heard your caller earlier with regards to the Cowich. The caller should be told that the vines flower around October and the pods begin to dry and blow from late December through to April and so on. In order to avoid this problem, which we're currently experiencing, on the fields need to be cleaned in the period of October to mid-December, and the seeds falling from the vines will germinate even after they have been burnt. So that is some interesting information as it relates to the cowhitch. My name is Lisa Gale. I've enjoyed being with you today on Down to Brass Tacks, today, 21st of February 2018. I will see you another time. I thank Mr. Graham Vaughan for assisting me in the studio. This is Down to Brass Tacks.